What's up, everyone? I'm your boy Fenya. This is the Early Prime Podcast, and we're here to talk about mostly the UFC. We had an event last week, not an Apex event, a real event with like people in the crowd. And we have another one this week that I won't be able to see live because I have a wedding. And some of you might remember that I lost an event like late last year because of a wedding too. I've never been to a wedding before that, and now I'm going to another one. So just be waiting for the suit pictures. Okay, so last week we had UFC Fight Night Blanchfield versus Fiorot. By the way, I've been saying Manon's name like that because I felt it was the right way. And so this weekend, everyone was saying like Manon Fior. And I was pretty confused. I don't speak French. But that didn't seem quite right, so I just like Google Manon saying her own name. Yeah, I was pretty much right. Like I guess my pronunciation is not great, but I at least I'm trying. So yeah, Manon Fiorot. I'm like 1/8 French, so I'm guessing that gave me the power to guess how do you say that name. So yeah, let's get into the main event. Manon versus Erin. Very like samey fight for the whole thing. It was very clear that Blanchfield did not have the tools to get like effective clinch entries that allowed her to work against Manon. Also the physicality, not sure if that is parity, but at least like yeah, pretty much. Like Fiora was for sure like the stronger, bigger girl inside the cage, and I think Erin Blanchfield did not like that one bit. She's very used to like not being like super big, although even though she's like a very well-sized flyweight, despite not being very tall. If you saw her like next to Andrade in their fight, Jessica Andrade, Erin Blanchfield a lot bigger. So. But yeah, Fiorot here looking huge, looking very strong, athletic, winning every clinch exchange, just like being like super quick about getting underhooks. And on the 50-50, just cranking out the wizard very well. I like that Fiorot has some semblance about regaining the center of the cage with the right hook. And to be fair, like she didn't have to do much adjustments because she was winning the fight. But I thought she could have afforded to up the volume since like round third, the third round, I think, to just make it like clear, like with very bad judges, you could get like sketchy scorecards. It wasn't the case, like this was scored 50-45 all across the board. I saw some people giving two rounds to Blanchfield. I think that's kind of wrong, like maybe the fourth, but yeah, Fiorot was like kicking her ass pretty much. Yeah, I mean, great win. Manon, obviously, the only choice for the next title shot after we settled the whole Alexa versus Valentina saga after they filmed The Ultimate Fighter. And they fight in Mexico again? I'm not sure, but yeah, I mean, probably not. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't like a super exciting fight, but it was like, as we mentioned in the last week's podcast, a very important fight for the division, and I'm very glad these girls had like 5 rounds to get the experience before fighting for the title. So yeah, I mean, very good win by Manon. She looks limited, but we haven't seen her like get pushed to that like next level. She has had like very close fights against Jennifer Maya and Caitlin Shukagian. What's her name now? Like Serminara, I think. Serminara. And yeah, I mean, but she looked pretty solid here. I mean, it was clear that it was a bad matchup for Blanchfield. I had a slight feeling for that, but I wasn't quite sure. Blanchfield Hazel, very strong and resourceful in the clinch, she got shut down here. Yeah, man, very good win. What's next for Fiore? Obviously, a title shot. What's next for Blanchfield? Maybe Rose Namajunas? I don't know. But yeah, Natalia Silva, maybe? The co-main event, and I never liked this one, it was Joaquin Buckley versus Vicente Luque. And Luque here looked like trash. I mean, he didn't look that bad on the feet, to be honest. I mean, he had no idea what to do against the Southpaw, but that's like classic late career Vicente Luque, to be fair. He did not have any setups for the left hook. He was very shy about throwing the right hand. And he still had like an incredibly close round with Buckley on the first. I thought Buckley was going to win this one on volume, and it was like somewhat trending that way. It was very close. Buckley, for all the qualities that he has, like he has no idea. I mean, obviously he has like good technique, power. He knows how to strike, but he's not approaching the fight with any kind of like actual sense. I feel like he's just vibing and doing this like TJ Dillashaw with only hooks impression. I don't know who said that on the Discord, I'm sorry. Very funny. But yeah, I mean, Buckley, like, in this fight especially, very annoying to watch. Like, not doing like a lot of cool stuff. Not connecting much at all. Like, he fights from this, like, super extended range, and then he just, like, tries to do, like, footwork tricks to get on the inside and a lot of combinations, but her combinations are like not very fluid in the sense that he's not like watching what openings are there. He just like throws predetermined combos at his opponent. I don't know. I'm not super high on Buckley. By the way, the end of the fight on the second round, Luque tries for a takedown. He's holding on to the body lock. Buckley obviously stuffed. Vicente just holds onto the body lock, ends up on the bottom. I think it was first like half guard, then he went to full guard. And he just did not defend ground and pound at all. It was like a super brutal stoppage. Gladly for Luque, because we know he had that brain damage thing against, like brain bleeding against Jeff Neal. But he did not defend at all, so it was a good stoppage in the sense that you could tell like Luque was not there at all. Like, he didn't want to fight anymore once he found himself on bottom position. He doesn't have it anymore. I hate to say this, especially about a fighter that I've been such a big fan of for such a long time. So Vicente Luque fight here in Chile, in Santiago, when the UFC held their only event here. He fought Chad Laprise. Vicente Luque is half Chilean. His mother is Chilean, I think. And we all cheered for him. Obviously, I'm not like super patriotic or anything. I was just cheering for Vicente because he's very cool and got a huge knockout. In fact, I was cheering against Rivas in his fight against Guido Canetti. I was probably the only Chilean like rooting for Canetti, but you know, I'm that kind of hater. So yeah, getting back on track. So yeah, I mean, I've been such a big fan of Vicente Luque for such a long while, and yeah, this late career Vicente has been very rough to watch, like since the Belal Mohamed rematch, that he has looked like very bad. He looked okay at times against Neil, but yeah, I mean, and the fight against Rafael dos Anjos, because it was such a like wash on wash violence thing, didn't look that bad, but yeah, this was a terrible look, left a terrible taste in my mouth. Talking about bad taste in your mouth, we had Chris Weidman against Bruno Silva. Weidman winning by technical decision after the fight was stopped by like a TKO by the ref, but then it was like, okay, those were eye pokes and we're going to the scorecards because it was the third round. Very weird. Everything was very weird. And Weidman wins. So this should have been a feel-good moment for the crowd. It was, because this was Atlantic City. that's New Jersey. I'm not sure if Whiteman is for like Jersey or New York, but you know, like he had his people in there. Everyone was cheering for Chris Whiteman. And he looked okay in this fight. But the thing is that he won the fight with a 1-2 eye poke. That's insane. Like, come on, bro. Other than that, like, Whiteman had a good first round. He got a takedown against the fence, got some control, had some very good moments on the feet with kicks. I think he rocked Bruno Silva with a high kick that was blocked. And then he unloaded against the cage. Then the second round was very close. Both guys looking like insanely watched. More sad for Bruno Silva, I would say, because he's like not even that old. I know he has like 34 fights in his record now, but still, dude. But yeah, I mean, the finish of the fight was complete bullshit. Then they go to scorecards. Chris Whiteman, who already had like a bad eye poke on Bruno and was warned multiple times about keeping his fingers outstretched, but very light warnings by the referee, though. I mean, this should have been a DQ. The very worst for Bruno Silva, this was a no contest, so this was bullshit. Whiteman says he's not retiring. Is this the best Whiteman has looked in a while? Yes, and he still looks like outside the top 15 here. Like, Bruno Silva did not look great either. So it was whatever. It was like not very cool. Whiteman was like very like non-apologetic in his like post-fight interview. And to be fair, like, despite him being like clearly a douchebag about it, he said like, you as a fighter, when you get an eye poked, you cannot drop, like, you're hurt. Like, you're going to give the wrong signals to the referee. Like, you're right, but also you know you got like a completely bullshit win, you know? But it is what it is. Chris Whiteman gets a win. He's now 16-7. That's like, that balance of wins and losses is so trash for someone that was so good in his prime. Before that, because this was like Dick Kick City and Eye Poke City, like, all night. Nursultan Rusiboye fought Cedricus Dumas, who just had like a second charge on domestic abuse, I think, or something like that. Like, this guy is clearly trash, which is weird because he doesn't look like he's trash when he's talking to fighters. But I mean, Greg Hardy didn't look like he was complete scum either, so don't judge a guy just because he looks nice, I guess. But yeah, Rusi Boy, completely bullshit stoppage too. Like, he got like a super bad eye poke on Dumas. Dumas was like trying to tell to the referee, like, hey dude, I'm getting eye poked. And Rusi Boy just nails him with an uppercut and finishes him. So yeah, I mean, not super bad about it. I mean, objectively, this was like a bad stoppage. But if Cedric Dumas is like a guy that is hitting women out there, like, I cannot feel bad for you, I guess. Moving on, we had Kyle Nelson against Bill Audio. This main card was so funky. Nelson hurts Audio with like an insane overhand, like, with insane, not like the biggest one that I've ever seen, even though it was very big. It was like so janky. He threw like the left elbow, and talking about elbows, I have something to say about that, whiffs, and then he comes back with like a super funky overhand right, clips Audio behind the ear. Audio never really recovers. It's Kyle Nelson is just going to town. The right hands are connecting like all night. The referee decides to stop it when Aldo gets like rocked for the fourth time on the feet. He was stumbling like pretty bad. This is like somewhat of a weird stoppage, but I think I support it. If you can make me choose, would I like to see this like play out a bit more? Yes, but I don't think I would complain about this one. It was alright. Don't get like, if you're rocked and you're not defending yourself, just because Bill Adjo was clearly con- concussed, you know, because he was not recovering after that initial hit, so he was just taking an like, insane amount of damage. Like, could he turn this around, especially against Kyle Nelson? Probably, but you should not get in that position in the first place, so I'm okay with the stoppage. Shidi and Jokwani dropped to welterweight, and I thought it was a pretty bad idea, but he looked okay against Rhys McKee. This was like a lanky fuck on lanky fuck affair. And Shidi and Jokwani, a pretty conservative performance, but pretty good. With the low kicks, some sick elbows in the clinch. Rhys McKee is very tough, so I'm not like giving a lot of shit to Shidi, who defended a lot of takedowns by Rhys. I hit like a sweet reactive takedown. He was not credited for it because Rhys McKee got immediately up, but still, it was like a cool reactive takedown by Shidi. The crowd was ass on this fight because this was like a perfectly fine fight. I mean, I guess they had like some like dull moments in the clinch, but the crowd was like being a bitch in this one. It was alright. By the way, this was a split decision. Rhys McKee got his ass kicked like super bad in this fight. Like, no way you can give him a round. Like, you're fucking insane. Like, who the fuck was that? Let me Google who the fuck was that, because okay. Let me see. I should have had this like before that. So it was Muna Querido. Who the fuck is Muna Querido, by the way? Like, okay, he scored, or she, I'm not sure. They scored Jandiroba for Godinez early in the night, and that was like a score. But that's insane, bro. That's insane. And on 2023, the only fight that they scored was a Jandiroba fight, which is weird. Like, okay, I don't know. Let's get back. And this podcast is like, I'm in a very weird mood right now. But yeah, I mean, good for Shidi and Jokwani. He looked alright. I hope he can make the weight cut safely because he's a big boy. I mean, I know he's like kind of skinny, but he's so fucking tall and like not super skinny. He's still packing some muscle. Before that, we have Nate the Train Landwehr against Jamal Emmers. Jamal Emmers came out like a house on fire. He was nailing Nate Landwehr so bad, but Landwehr is so good at staying composed. And Emmers fell apart so hard. I'm not very high on like, oh, he broke, man. He saw it in his eyes, that kind of shit. But bro, like... Jamal Emmers wanted out after like 2 minutes. Like, he was still hitting Nate like pretty hard, but he was like, oh, this guy's not going out, I'm getting a bit tired, I'm like, fuck this shit. And Nate was like starting to catch him with some counters, and I know for a fact Jamal Emmers was hating his fucking life. And yeah, the scare came back and Jamal Emmers did not have that dog in him. In fact, it was Nate Landwehr who had Jamal Emmers' dog, and he has his own dog in him. I'm sorry about that. And yeah, Nate Landwehr just fucking killed him, by the way. Like, he got him with like an uppercut right hook, then went to the ground. Jamal Emmers, Nate Landwehr is not even side control. He's kneeling on the side of Jamal Emmers, and he was like hammer fisting, and Jamal Emmers went like in and out of conscience like 4 times. Nate Landwehr was trying to dig a hole on the ground with his skull. It was an insane late stoppage, by the way. But yeah, Nate the Train is great, man. I hate him in this debut against Darren Elkins, and I have come, especially after like that Ludovic Klein performance. I love Nate the Train, man. He's so fun to watch, and he has like a cool style. The post-fight interview was cool, too. Birna Jandiroba fought Lupita Godinez, and very surprised that Birna pulled this one off, because I thought, like, Lupita is, like, a more, like, dynamic striker, and I thought a better wrestler, so I thought, like, this one is, like, complicated. But Birna, very good use of her length in open space, especially with the jab, the 1-2s. She was marking Lupita up. arguably having the better striking for prolonged moments of the fight. And then she was like relentless with the wrestling, and then when the wrestling was not there, she was like taking some risky positions, pulling like deep half, getting into leg entanglements. But man, it worked out. Second round was kind of sketchy because they spent most of the round on 50-50. Birna landed more hammer fists from the 50-50. When I say 50-50, I'm talking about like leg lock position. But Lupita landed like two that were like bigger, but I'm not sure how you weigh that. But I thought like Birna won the first and the third for sure, taking the back especially. So cool stuff, very cool stuff. Especially because Lupita was relying on like the wizard when she, Birna was attempting her like body locks or clinch takedowns. And then Birna at the end of the first round and the end of the third round, she just like stay strong, step over, beat the wizard and got to dominant position, eventually getting to the back twice. So very good stuff for Jandirova, and now she has like very legit wins against Marina Rodriguez and now Lupita. She had a very close fight with Amanda Hibas, who we saw in the main event last week, and also Mackenzie Dern, and that fight was like super close. I thought Birna won it, so yeah, Birna is like legit. Julio Arce came back to featherweight, I mean somewhat, because he missed weight, and very finally he tried to weigh in for a second time, and he was heavier the second time. And he fought Herbert Burns, the brother of Durinho Gilbert Burns. And Herbert has been a disaster in the UFC, man, and this was another case. Herbert did not look like completely terrible, but Julio Arce was like a bad matchup in the sense that he was very like intelligent in defending the takedowns and punishing him, and Herbert Burns just like fell apart, ate a big knee. Herbert Burns, who has a win by knee knockout against Nate the Train, by the way, that's an insane result looking back, because like putting Nate out is so fucking hard. I mean, I know Julio Arce, I think, also did it, Erosa, but yeah, Nate, it has this like super strong comeback potential, and Herbert Burns like super falls apart. But I guess like an early finish for Herbert was another option here. Julio Arce gets the stoppage on the second round, very cool. Good stuff, Julio Arce, a 1-2 king. If you want to check out some Julio Arce action, I made a video about him like 2 years ago. It's called the application of the 1-2 in MMA, Julio Arce, something like that. That's on the Fight Side channel. I talk about his fight against Emmer, and the other one was against Dan Ige, so pretty cool stuff. We had another like cool performance of the night here. Denis Bouzoukia fought Connor Matthews, the controller, who is called like that because he's some kind of like Air Force douchebag, I don't know. Bouzoukia here looked pretty good. He has looked like decent in his last few fights in the UFC, even though they weren't going his way, but here he looked great. A bit shaky. Connor Matthews was pressuring, and he has like a good snap kick to the body, but then Bouzoukia was like outboxing him like pretty bad, especially with the check hook. And it was like the left hook when Matthews was like close to the distance on the third. He got caught like bad, and then big hammer fist, but Bouzoukia looked pretty cool here. Serra Longo is still like a very solid camp, I think. And it's funny because like Aldo and Merab are like the worst strikers over there, so maybe like striking is fake and you should just like shoot takedowns and go to your knees when they fail. Ivo Aslan and Anton Turkali had a super like heavyweight bout. This is a rematch, by the way. Turkali, the only man to previously beat Ivo Aslan. Commentary was having a weird one in this one. I guess like Paul Felder and Bisping had like a hate boner about Aslan. They were like, oh, he's so inefficient with his technique. His wind is so wide. He was still winning this fight. Like hitting Turcali with bigger shots. He was even having more output. I don't know. Like, I guess, like, he was not looking great, but they were, like, giving so much props to Turcali. Oh, he just torching him. Like, Turcali was looking like trash as well, you know? And yeah, Turcali got dropped, like, super bad, and he got stopped. He was complaining about it. Some people were saying it was a bit earlier. It was alright. Like, Turcali drops. He had the mind to put, like, his hand on the... He falls back. He had the mind to put his hands on the floor to not, like, fall on his head. But then Ivo Aslan goes for, like, follow-up ground pound. And Turcali did not react to cover up. So I think that's, like, a clear example of you're not, like, intelligently defending yourself. So I think the stoppage was completely fine. The fight was, like, good at moments just because they banged so much. So it was alright. I guess that's for Turcali in the UFC. And Ivo Aslan, welcome to light heavyweight. It's trash down all the way down. Jacob Malkoon fought under Petrosky. Petrosky took pretty bad here. He got dropped by a jab by Malkoon. People were saying, like, oh, how do you get dropped by a jab by Malkoon? Especially because Jack Slack made that video about, like, oh, Jacob Malkoon fucking sucks, but he has this single leg and that's his only technique. He wins fight like that. He got dropped by Brendan Allen. And guys, listen here. I love Jack Slack. That was, like, very sensationalist by his part. Yes, Malkoon single leg is, like, his signature move and shit. He has a pretty good jab, like, always had. A first. And second, he did not beat Brendan Allen. He got his ass beat in that fight. I guess it was, like, it's a bad scorecard if you score that shit for Malkoon. Like, Brendan Allen clearly won, like, the position of grappling and had more damage. Like, I don't know how you are that. But yeah, this fight had, like, in a shit show of a night, this had the weirdest ending. Is this the weirdest? I mean, the Chris Weidman one is very weird too, so. But yeah, Petrosky shoots for a takedown. He just, like, clashes his forehead against the bone of Malkoon's hip. And he got confused, like, pretty bad with that. Malkoon follow up with hammer fist for the stoppage. Just insane result, to be honest. Like, crazy shit. The opening fight between Kaelan Logran and Angel Pacheco was pretty good. Logran just was, like, more athletic, more powerful. And Pacheco did not get going. I'm not sure if he got hurt early. I thought Pacheco maybe won the third round. But it was a good scrap. Not super high on Logran. I mean, he has some good striking chops when he has, like, a striking advantage. I mean, when he has a very big athletic advantage, but he's mostly a wrestler, and his wrestling did not look like all that here. I described him earlier, during the fight on Twitter, as, like, Ricky Simon, but with MMA wrestling instead of, like, actual wrestling. And I leave it at that. But it was a fun scrap. If you want to rewatch a few fights here, I guess, like, watch Logran versus Pacheco. Busuquia versus Matthews was a fun fight. Arce versus Burns was funny. And late Nate Landwehr versus Jamal Emmers was insane. It was insane, fucking insane, to be honest. Chidi versus McGee was a lot better than people thought. And Kyle Nelson versus Bilalio was funny too. It's whatever. Do not watch Joaquin Buckley versus Vicente Luque. That was ass. Let's get into some fight announcements before previewing the next card. Phil Rowe is fighting Jake Matthews at UFC 302. Let's go, Phil Rowe. Jake Matthews can maybe win this one with takedowns, but yeah, I mean, all the feet too, like, well, Jake Matthews hits very hard, but I think he doesn't do very well against, like, super long guys, and Phil Rowe has some cool striking shots. He has been working hard on his grappling. Like, he loves getting tapped out by actual very good grapplers in grappling events. But I think that speaks very well of him and not making fun out of him. Like, obviously, you're getting tapped out when you're grappling with elite level grapplers that do not do MMA. So, yeah, I like Phil Rowe. I don't know. Derrick Lewis is fighting Rodrigo Nascimento. This is a fucking main event. And, like, I did not Google this one because I wanted to give, like, a live reaction. I'm not completely sure who Rodrigo Nascimento is. If I had to guess, he's the guy who, like, won against Tanner Bowser by throwing, like, I don't know if it was a left hook or a right hand, but he scraped his eye, like, by chance with that punch. Completely illegal, by the way. I'm not saying he won, like, Chris Weidman style. Chris Weidman, by the way, is a terrible eye poker. Has been his whole career. Sorry that I'm bouncing, like, topic to topic so much on this one. It is what it is, but yeah, Chris Weidman is, like, cut from the same cloth that John Jones and Justin Gaethje, just like a completely shitter dude with the eye pokes. Just wanted to get that one out of my chest, even though I've been saying this on Twitter, on Discord, everywhere, but still. So yeah, if I had to guess who Rodrigo Nascimento is, I would say that's the guy who beat Tanner Bowser because he like raked his eyes with the glove with a completely illegal punch. So I will Google him and we will find out if I'm the biggest nerd of all time. He is not that guy. That actually makes me feel a bit better about myself, like, because I should not know who Rodrigo Nascimento fucking is, you know. So who is Rodrigo Nascimento? Is that guy that won against Latifi and has 2 wins against Dante Mays for some reason. Why are you fighting Dante Mays twice? What the fuck is that? He does have a win against Tanner Bowser, but oh yeah. Oh no. Yeah, I'm right. It was that guy. Okay. I am the biggest nerd of all time. It just that it wasn't a KO, it was a split decision win, but I thought Nascimento won that. Okay, so I do know who Rodrigo Nascimento is. I am the biggest nerd of all time. I'm the guy that... I'm the fucking UFC fanboy. That's fucking disgusting, man. But yeah, getting back on track, this main event is completely trash. Derrick Lewis is on a losing skid. The fuck is this? I mean, I know this is on... like Derrick Lewis hometown or something, but come on, dude, this is so fucking bad. No, I do not support this. What I do support is Edson Barboza versus Lerone Murphy. That's fucking great. Lerone Murphy never fights. He's very good. I think we talked about this one with Sandro last week, but yeah, this one is very good. It's very cool. Lerone Murphy never fights. He's undefeated, by the way. He's pro-Palestine, so just a cool dude overall. Barboza had that banger against Sadiq Yusuf in his last one. Like, insane resolve for a guy that has been shaky in the past. And looks shaky for 145. I mean, hope this fight happens because it's crazy. This is a main event, by the way, so 5 rounds. Huge test for Murphy because Barboza has the cardio, man. He has the heart, but not impossible to put him out. Murphy very, like, well-rounded, so maybe he'll try some takedowns here, but... oh, yeah, very cool fight. Excited about that one. Cody Stamann is fighting... Stamann, I think. He's fighting Taylor Lapillus. And this guy is, like, well-rounded, like, stocky dudes. Cody Stamann, like, a bit tipped over to the wrestling side. Lapillus... tipped over to the striking side, like, very cool fight. Lapillus, I thought, looked solid in his fight against small Bacharat, who is maybe now the younger Bacharat, might be the good Bacharat now that Javid looked like trash against Ayman Zahavi. But yeah, I mean, this is good. Good. This one is a shit show. The UFC announced Sergey Pavlovich versus Alexander Volkov for UFC Saudi Arabia, and we had a few problems here because first, as we talked on last week's podcast, Volkov is already scheduled to fight Jailton Almeida in UFC 301 in Brazil. And second, these guys are training partners and are both saying that they are not fighting each other. So this is like another classic example of the UFC announcing fights that they have not even consulted the fighters about. They're just like being a completely monkey business, a trash promotion, and I make a podcast about them. That's my life right now. Kelvin Gastelum is fighting Daniel Rodriguez in a fight between like chunky Mexican welterweights with hand speed. Both guys are southpaws too, by the way. Like, a lot of similarities here. D-Rod has a lot of tattoos though, and Gastelum does not. They do not look alike, but they are kind of fat. We're moving to completely the meme realm. Sharabuddin Magomedov is fighting the duelist Ihor Potera. This is fantastic. This is this is great. This is straight out of 4chan. I won't say anything about this. Actually, a pretty cool fight, to be honest. I'm not gonna lie. A good fight. Like, let's get the memes aside. Both are like fun strikers and they're going to bang on the feet. I'm completely fine with this. What word is this? Like, this fight should be like a shit show, and it's actually like decent booking, especially for middleweight that is such a trash division. Jody Walker is fighting Volkan Uzdemir. Uzdemir is pretty much done. I know he looked like good again, that Goskov guy that is like that Russian Anthony Smith guy. He's not even Russian. I'm being racist here. But yeah, I mean, I think Jody Walker is going to meme the shit out of him. Hopefully not, because I know a lot of you guys like Jody Walker because he's like this goofy little guy, but he fights so bad. And SBG is not doing a lot to make that better. Like, they're making him a bit more boring, which, like, yeah, it's making him better, but, like, not, like, actually good. I much rather see Volkan Uzdemir, like, protect the fighters that actually try to be good in a smart way to win. Robert Whittaker is fighting Khamzat Chimaev. This is fantastic booking. Yeah, I mean, Whittaker looked very solid in his bounce fight against Paulo Costa. Paulo Costa looked solid himself there. And Khamzat looked very dominant physically against Usman early on, but then he tired, and I still maintain Usman won that fight. He won rounds 2 and 3. Don't get at me. Kamaru Usman won his fight against Khamzat Chimaev. If Chimaev is not like making adjustments, I think he's going to lose against Whittaker. Unless like he gets like a super early knockout or like overwhelms physically Whittaker, who is looking a bit off but not completely shot. He looked pretty good against Paulo Costa, so I mean, I guess I'm like doubtful against Robert Whittaker just because he lost to Dricos du Plessis. I know he's the champion and all that crap, but come on, dude. Come on, bro. You were having, like, epic fights with Joel Romero. It's whatever. Talking about middleweight, this one is weird. It's good. And it making me a bit nervous because Roman Dolidze is fighting Anthony Hernandez. And it's a very, like, cool contrasting styles, both on the feet and on the ground. Dolidze, obviously, like, the bigger hitter, more powerful. But Fluffy is underrated on the feet, I think. Like, he held his own, especially using the threat of takedown, put the pressure on Kopilov after a while. And if they go to the ground, this could get very, very interesting because, like, Fluffy has, like, one of the coolest, like, top players in middleweight right now, especially because of the mixtures of, like, the rights, untraditional jiu-jitsu, but also like he's like very flowy. He's like not super control oriented. He'd much rather go like for mat returns and ground pound during transitions, that kind of stuff. And the Lidze is like the coolest guy from the bottom in this division, like even cooler than Paul Craig, just because he has like so many options to go to the legs. He uses like X guard. He's like very interesting getting into leg entanglements. His guard is very aggressive. He strikes a lot from the bottom too. So I'm very intrigued about this fight. Like if you're not going like if you're going like outside the elite of middleweight, this one is probably one of the maybe not super a banger of a fight when it happens, but I'm very, very intrigued and excited about this one. And Fluffy is my boy, you know that Fluffy, I ride with for Fluffy, so I hope that Anthony Hernandez wins this one. But I'm nervous, I'm not gonna lie. And we have a middleweight, the main event this weekend, so let's talk about that. Brendan Allen was supposed to fight, I'm not sure who, but whoever was supposed to fight Brendan Allen pulled out. And we have Chris Curtis stepping in, turning this into a rematch. If we remember, Chris Curtis knocked out Brendan Allen like a few years ago. Brendan Allen has insane experience against southpaws. So this is a cool fight. It was a cool fight the first time around. Allen for sure has improved. But some of the problems that he will have is that he's still like he has turned into a much more lot more confident, like well-rounded fighter that eventually gets the fight to the ground, which is his A game. And Chris Curtis is like insanely hard to take down. Chris Curtis is coming out of a very good win against Marc-André Barriot, teammate of Brendan Allen, by the way. This is like another fight in the ongoing saga of Extreme Couture versus Killcliff FC at middleweight, in which Chris Curtis and Sean Strickland are beating the whole camp of Henry Hoof fighters. But yeah, I mean, this is a cool fight. It's all right. It's good. I'm not gonna complain about this one. The co-main event is Alexander Hernandez against Damon Jackson. And Hernandez, like, the UFC loves him for some reason. And I, especially, like, the fight against Jim Miller and the fight against Billy Quarantillo, even though he lost, I thought Hernandez was, like, finding something to be, like, a good fighter. But I have completely lost faith in him. I always thought he had like great potential to be good eventually because he has like very good physical attributes and he seems like smart sometimes, but yeah, no, you guys, all of you were right. Alexander Hernandez was always trash, was never good. He's fighting Damon Jackson and this could be like a decent matchup for him. Like Damon Jackson, very aggressive on the feet. He's dangerous on the feet. But and he's a good wrestler, but he's not that physical. And by the way, he's still long. He's like, they tried giving him Billy Quarantillo. They tried giving him Bill Algeo. Now they're trying giving him like the easier version of the same matchup for the last time. And we'll see if Hernandez gets it done. But yeah. This one is a banger. Morgan Shagir is fighting Chepe Mariscal, and this one is great. Shagir made his debut in UFC France against Manolo Cecchini. He won with a very cool body kick. Like, I think it was like a front kick up the middle, I think. But he was cool. And he used to fight for Cage Warriors. And it seems like he has a pretty big, like, social media following. And Chepe is my boy, man. Ever since his debut against Trevor Peak, when he's despite being a featherweight and Trevor Peak being, like, insanely physical, he made him look like the doofus he is. And then he had, like, insane fight with Jack Jenkins when he was, like, getting back into a fight after, like, that kind of rough first round. And then he went for for a judo takedown. I don't remember. Like, I think he goes usually for Haraigoshi, but I don't remember if it was the case in that one. Jack Jenkins posed with his arm, like, in a dumb way and broke his arm. So, yeah, I mean, that's a legit win, to be honest. Some people got very mad about me saying, like, that's a real win. But, yeah, I mean, I love Chepe Mariscal. And Xavier looks a lot of fun, too, so I'm excited about this one. My countryman Ignacio Bahamondes is fighting Christos Giagos. Giagos presents, like, a lot of the same, like, questions that Ludovic Klein did, but Giagos is not as good of a striker, but he's actually more of a... he's a better wrestler than Klein. And similarly physical, but Giagos is, like, pretty old, only 34 years old, but he's been fighting in the UFC for a long time and has been getting finished quite a lot lately, so I think I'm siding with Bahamondes. It is whatever. It is a fight for sure. Lucas Bresky is fighting Walter Walker, who is the half-brother, let's just call him the brother, of Johnny Walker. His nickname, by the way, is the Clean Monster. Does that make, like, the... is he calling out his brother for doing roids? Is that what is this about? Anyway, I've never seen Walter Walker fighting in my life. Lucas Bresky is, like, in a 3-fight losing streak, so... yeah. Trevor Peak is fighting Charlie Campbell. Who is Charlie Campbell, man? Oh, yeah, it's that guy that beat... oh, yeah, Charlie Campbell's kind of cool. Charlie Campbell's kind of cool. That's the guy that got knocked out by Chris Duncan on the Contender Series. He was a big favorite, by the way. He made his debut against Alex Reyes, who apparently is the brother of Dominic Reyes. He looked pretty good in that fight. Trevor Peak, as I said in his fight against... referring to his fight against Chepe Mariscal, he's like a physical monster. He fights very stupid. I have, like, a very viral clip of him because he feinted a hammer fist, like, from long range. And it looked like he was throwing a dart. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, Trevor Peak, complete meme of a guy. He just, like, does everything wrong. But he's, like, kind of well-rounded and not that dumb. Like, you know, he fights like he's the stupidest guy in the world. But he actually, he actually tries to win in smart ways. It's just that the execution of everything he does is, like, sloppy as shit. But I think you won't catch me rooting for Trevor Peak to win. But I think he's a fun addition to the division. Kurt McGee is fighting Alex Morono. I think Morono should have this one on the back. McGee is, like, super old, like 39, has been fighting forever. And has been getting finished as of late. And Morono is, like, exiting his prime, I would guess. But he does, like, bad against, like, the best athletes of the division. He can't put it together against, like, them. Like, I don't know, Chaos Williams or Joaquin Buckley. But he's safe against Conor McGee, who was, like, physical but not very athletic even in his prime. And he's, like, super old now. So maybe, like, Alex Morono gets a big knockout. Or Norma Dumont, my girl, she's fighting Jermaine Durandamy. And this fight is kind of great. This fight slaps, man. I know I talked about this one when it was announced. But, yeah, this one is good. Very interesting to see how Dumont deals with the range of the randomy, because it's like, I mean, and Norma Dumont, like, famous for losing to Megan Anderson, and the randomy, like, not as long as Megan, obviously, but very big hitter. But Norma Dumont is very cool. I like her a lot. So yeah, I hope she wins here, especially because Jermaine the randomy, like, she seems very sweet, but she's a cop, so. 13-12. Aladdin Haley is fighting Victor Hugo. Who is Victor Hugo? He followed on Contender Series. I do not remember him, but he won't be an Ivar. And Adam Haley is coming off losing to Chris Gutierrez, getting his leg kicked. So maybe he goes from getting his leg kicked to getting his leg locked. I don't know, man. I just talking shit. Cannot say much about this because I do not remember Victor Hugo at all. Cynthia Calvillo is fighting Piera Rodriguez. Okay. Okay, like, I guess. Calvillo is on a fight losing streak. That's insane. She's not that bad, but seems like all the dynamism is gone. Like, okay, the last two were splits, but she was so inactive in those fights. I don't know. Calvillo's already 36. Man, I remember when she was young and an exciting prospect, like fighting out of Team Alpha Male when she robbed my girl, Joan Caldergood. I remember that. Jan Matsumoto is fighting Dan Argueta. So Matsumoto is like a Japanese-Brazilian guy. He comes from Contender Series. I do not remember the fight, to be honest. Dan Argueta is like coming off weird fights. yeah, it's whatever. Dylan Butka is fighting Cesar Almeida, and these guys might as well be made up. I don't know who are these people. Okay, Cesar Almeida only has 4 fights and is coming from Contender Series. Dylan Butka is also coming from Contender Series. This is middleweight too, like, yeah, this is a fake-ass fight. This is not real. This apology is like just pulling a prank on me. This shit is not real. Come on, dude. This is not real. The opening fight is Melissa Tonia Mullins against Nora Cornell. I do not remember Cornell. Actually, she's the French girl that fought Jocelyn Edwards. She looked fine. She wasn't very good, especially as an MMA fighter, but she does like cool stuff on the feet. And Melissa Tonia Mullins, she has a win in the UFC, and she's from England. I do not remember. That's the card. It's kind of me, to be honest. Which fights I'm excited about to miss because I'm going to be in a fucking wedding. The main event, Brendan Allen versus Chris Curtis, is fun. It's fun, and it's like, especially for Allen, it's like an important fight. Like, Allen establishes himself with, I think, the longest win streak in the division if he wins this one. Or maybe he already does, I'm not sure. Morgan Charguier against Chepe Mariscal is cool. It's very good. And that's it. That's like the fights that I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, Norma Dumont versus Germaine de Brandamme is cool. Those three are like the fights that I would like recommend, actually. That. So yeah, I mean, I guess it's a good weekend to miss the fights, I guess. I still watch them when I get home or early Sunday, I don't know. And that's the podcast, guys. Before leaving, just remember that if you want to support the Fight Site as an ongoing project, you can go to our Patreon page. Only for $5 you can get access to our Discord server. Very cool people there to talk about fighting, to talk about life. We have a lot of super chats. And you get access to a lot of like exclusive content, especially after pay-per-views. I post some like short video analysis over there that I cannot post on Twitter because I would get nuked. And engagement for the Patreon post is very bad right now. So guys, if you want to drop me a dollar on Twitter, you can always support me through Patreon. Also, I had a big article coming out today. I guess you guys are listening to this on Tuesday. I'm recording this Monday night. But yeah, I had an article. It's called Crash Course Elbows in MMA. And I think it's very cool. It's like not super deep. It's like entry level to understand the use of elbows in MMA, why they are not so common, in what situations you can apply them. And you can like go from there and build up. And I think it's a very cool article with a lot of cool clips. A lot of Matt Brown clips because he elbows people so much. And yeah, he said that I quote the man, the immortal Matt Brown. He said it is fantastic work. So I have the Matt Brown seal of approval. So go and read the article, please. Any shares, comments, everything is very appreciated. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. I'll catch you on the next one. I have more content coming out. Do not think that I'm done after the article. Probably a video is up next. And I have some stuff on Twitter as well. I'm Fenyo, I'm your boy. I'll catch you on the next one. Bye.